Young friends, parents, congregation, what's the last time that you're really angry? That you were yelling and raving and ranting and so mad? Are you ever sometimes mad and angry that you'd like to hit people and hurt people? And maybe you did someday. Maybe you have been hurtful to others. And what was behind that? Often it is jealousy. Often it is that people are so mad because they are jealous. And they cannot bow and they cannot accept this. Well, we'll see that this morning. Of someone really angry. And really hurting others. And others dealing with that. And staying calm when he is so mad. Staying calm when people are trying to kill someone. And as yet be calm and following the Lord. So it is about King Saul, remember? And the young David. So let me mention the text of the sermon. 1 Samuel 18, verse 8. Let's read it together. Do you have your Bibles with you? 1 Samuel 18, verse 8. And Saul was very wroth. Wroth means mad, angry. And the sin displeased him. He did not like it. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? David honored over Saul and Jonathan. The people liked David more. The people liked David over Saul and over Jonathan. So David honored over Saul and Jonathan. Three thoughts. Jonathan loving David. That's the first piece in this chapter. Jonathan loved him. He loved David. Why? We will see. Secondly, Saul jealous of David. He didn't have to be jealous, but he was. Why? And in the third place, Saul trying to kill David. He couldn't, but he tried. David honored over Saul and Jonathan. Jonathan loving David. Saul jealous of David, and Saul trying to kill David. We are in Jerusalem, in the palace of King Saul. It's a big hall. See a throne, see the King Saul sitting there with his javelin in his hand next to him. Usually they are holding it as the scepter. And look at his face. He doesn't look happy at all. He's mad. What's happening, Saul? Well, he's thinking. He's thinking about what happened some time ago. That the prophet Samuel came to him and said something. He still remembered it so well. He can't forget about it. What did he say then? The Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. You cannot be king anymore. And he has given the kingdom to a neighbor of you that is better than you. What? God is taking the kingdom away from him and giving it to someone else? He is mad. And also the strength of Israel, the God of Israel is strength, will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. So Samuel said, Saul, for sure, you cannot remain king anymore. And it's your own fault. See King Saul sitting there in his throne? See his face? He's mad. He fears that they will take the kingdom away from him. And that's hard for him. And now something else happened. There's more on his mind. You know, there was a Philistine, a very tall Philistine, a giant with the name Goliath. And he was yelling at the soldiers of Israel. And that was a young man there. A young man, and he, making a long story short, he was not afraid of that man. He was upset with that man because he had been cursing God. And Saul, he has heard what happened. So that young man, David, God, he went to the brook and he took a few pebble stones, put in a sling and approached that giant, and he swung his sling, and the stone landed in his forehead and sank into it, and he fell down with a big noise. And David approached him and took the huge sword out of the sheath and killed him. So when he heard that, he wanted to talk to that man, right? So look at the previous chapter, chapter 17, the last two verses. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Now, King Saul is talking to David. Didn't he know him? I thought he knew him. I thought he always was playing the harp for him. Yes, he kind of knew him, but was never interested in him. He even did not remember the name of his father. And Saul, he didn't really care for people, so he hardly remembered names. So it was kind of new to him. And King Saul was interviewing him. He wanted to know more. Tell me what happened. And look at that. I see David standing there. And I see King Saul sitting there on his throne. And I see someone else listening. Jonathan, the crown prince. He's listening. He is really intensely listening. What's happening? Who is this man? Who is this David? And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. See that? So David was talking. And Jonathan was listening. And he heard things that made him almost cry. He had almost tears in his eyes, I would say. This was so special. He was touched. He loved that man. Jonathan the crown prince, he loved that young man. Why? Well, because of what he said. When he had made an end of speaking. So what has he been telling them? I don't know. Did he tell this king again about the past, that there was a bear coming and a lion coming, and that they threatened the sheep, and that he attacked them and slew them, and that he had courage and faith? But what did he tell them? I don't know all the details. But this I know, Jonathan really loved that man because of what he said, because of the tenderness in his heart, because of his attitude, because of his courage, because of his godly fear, his faith. He just really appreciated him. Oh, Jonathan, he was 5 years older than David. And Jonathan was kind of similar, and yet very different. Similar? Well, Jonathan also was a child of God. He also had courage, as we had seen before in chapter 14. He had also courage. He was relying on the Lord and had the tenderness in his heart so he could relate to those things. He had that same life in his soul. He was also a child of the Lord. But yet also different, because Jonathan was the oldest son and David the youngest. And Jonathan was the oldest son of the king. And David was the youngest son of a farmer who did not even have hired shepherds. They had to do it themselves. So quite a difference, and still the same. So Jonathan, he loved this David. He did not feel threatened. He did not think kind of, you know, I'm the crown prince. I'm the future king. Who are you? Who do you think you are? No. Jonathan was meek and quiet. And I know for sure that Jonathan thought, I will not be the future king. But he will. He knew that. I know that for sure, he knew that. I'll explain it later. And yet, he was not envious. He was not jealous. He was not angry. Jonathan was not angry. Because the Lord reigneth. The Lord is in control of all things. And he could give it in the hands of God. And the most important thing for Jonathan was not to become king. Would it be for you? If you be the crown prince, and someone would be in a position like this, would you be angry and say, I don't like that. I want to be the king. Just let's get rid of this person. Just go away. Forget about it. It's me. I'm important. You're not. No. Jonathan was different. He was not so ambitious. It was not all about himself. It was about the Lord reigning. So David was telling things. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit. Knit. Like when you're knitting something, when you make a tie, when you make a knot, when you just connect things, he felt so connected. Jonathan felt so connected to David. They became close friends. And he loved him in a healthy, normal, not sinful way. Soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You know, that's how God's people love God's people. And then age and status and all those things are not important anymore. Who cares? But then if you recognize in the other the life of God, the fear of God, the faith in God, you feel kind of, that's the type of person I love. And he loved him. And then something strange happened, or not. I see verse 2, Saul took him that day, took David, and would not let him go home anymore. He said, you stay here. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Covenant. Because he loved him as his own soul again. And what did they do? Well, they promised. They promised not to harm each other, not to harm each other's offspring and children, and to be respectful of each other, and to be friends all the time, forever. Made a covenant. That's why David later did not want to kill the offspring of Jonathan. But then Jonathan took his royal robe off. See that? David in his soldier's clothes, uniform, and Jonathan in his special, expensive royal robe. He took it off and he said, "You take it." And he gave it to David, and his robe and his garments, even to his sword. He had an expensive special sword, and his bow, a precision bow, I'm sure, and his girdle, his belt. So he expressed something with that. He said with that, "I recognize that you are the future king. Here is my robe. Here is my bow. Here is my girdle. Here is my sword. It's yours." See that? How unselfish. Recognizing that it's not him becoming the king, but he is the king. Oh, he loved him so much. Now I have a question for you. Have you heard David speaking? Because Jonathan listened to him and heard him. Have you heard the Lord Jesus speaking in the Bible? And when the Lord Jesus was talking, was your soul knit to his soul? And did you feel kind of, he is Jesus. He is the King. He is the Savior. And your soul was knit to his soul. And you made a covenant with him. Did you? "Lord, me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Made a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then receiving from the Lord Jesus the full armor of God. To receive from the Lord Jesus his sword and his robe and his things to fight the good fight with his help and in his favor. So Jonathan, he loved David with his whole soul. No. The attitude of Jonathan was not just his character. It was the fear of the Lord. It was the Lord working in his heart. He learned from this. And David, from that time on, was cautious and wise. He did not overplay his hand. He let the Lord rule. He let the Lord take charge. He did not interfere. He was just waiting for the Lord to work. He was just seeing what the Lord would do. So, what a patience. I read in Titus 1 something of people like David. "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faith of earth as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So what did I say? I see something of the Lord Jesus in there, in David. In David, I see something of the Lord Jesus. Not soon angry. And a lover of good men. And sober and holy and temperate. So, two questions now. Do you love David? Do you resemble David? Do you have something of the same type of grace? Then you don't have to get mad when you are like David. You just lay things in the hands of the Lord. And then you resemble Jonathan as well, giving it over in the hands of the Almighty One. So Jonathan loved David. Let's go to the second thought. Saul, jealous of David. Verse 6, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So we go back a little bit in history. Because back and forth in time. So David, remember, right? David, that little stone sunk in his forehead of Goliath. Goliath fell. He took this sword. He killed him. And then he came to Jerusalem. And from all the cities in the meantime, people came. All the women came. Many women came to Jerusalem. Thousands. Thousands of people in town. They came from all over the place. Because they had heard. A couple of days after Goliath was slain and the Israelites had been chasing the Philistines. Right? So a couple of days after, the whole city of Jerusalem was filled with people. And especially many women came. Because their husbands were warriors. And I see David coming. And the people cheering and singing and dancing and people using the cymbals and the triangles and other types of musical instruments. It was a celebration, really. The celebration was great. And they were singing choruses. So One said, Saul has slain his thousands. They sang that. And then another part of the choir sang, and David is 10,000. They came back and forth. It was really a special time. They were clapping hands, I'm sure, applauding David. So it came to pass, when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities, singing, dancing, to meet King Saul. To meet King Saul, right? They were respectful. It was not, in the first place, David. Saul was their king. Saul was their king, not David. And they knew that. And they sang in the first place to Saul, right? They knew that, and they had no problem with that. So to meet King Saul with tabrets, joy, instruments of music, they were happy with having King Saul. And the women answered one another in those choruses, as they played, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. And they meant well. They did not mean anything mean. They was just the way it was, right? And Saul heard that. He was so mad still. So mad. Because they sang that he had slain his thousands and David 10,000. He couldn't stand that. And he could not forget about it. Instead of saying, you know, the Lord helped him. And the Lord has given him strength. And the Lord has made it well. And this time David had a special warrior. A special warrior. Maybe next time someone else. But he couldn't go there. So Saul was very rough. Very mad and angry. Now, I'm a little critical here. I am frowning. And the women answered, Saul has slain thousands and David 10,000. Really? Really? May they sing that? I don't think it's even true. Saul has not slain his thousands. And David has not slain his 10,000. The Lord did that. So those ladies are singing the wrong things. They should have given glory to God. Like David said in 1 Samuel 17 in the previous chapter in verse 47. He witnessed there, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's what they should have sung. The Lord, the Savior, he saved not with the sword, not with the spear, but with a stone in his forehead. That's who our God is like. He can do anything. He's the Almighty One, doing wonders. They should have given glory to God, not to David, not to Saul. So, don't follow the example. Don't sing glory to people. You may be thankful for people, but don't glorify them. That's just doing the wrong thing. Also think of Exodus 15. Remember that, young people? Exodus 15, when the people of Israel went through the Red Sea. And there's a path made through the sea. And they came to the other side. All of them. And then the Egyptians were in the sea. And the water came back and they drowned. They all drowned. And then Moses, he sang also on the other side. He sang a new song. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The right hand of the Lord has become glorious in power. The right hand of the Lord has dashed in pieces the enemy. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? Fearful in praises, doing wonders. So I see Jerusalem filled with people, the streets lined with people, and people playing music and singing and dancing and giving glory to David and Saul. No. Bow your knees. Give glory to God. So David was different. And King Saul was mad. He was envious. And now think about that. What's the last time that you were envious? that you thought, he, so-and-so, but me, you know, he got so much further ahead than I did. I have a problem with that. And you just avoid the person and hate the person or talk bad about the person. That was Saul, not Jonathan, about David. Holy jealousy. And that jealousy is the root of many evil things. Let me show you. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. You know, that is important. We have the feeling, I am better. You are dumb. You are not intelligent. You're doing it wrong. I'm doing it way better than you do. That attitude ruins relationships. Ruins relationships in a consistory and in a church and at school and in a care home and in marriage and whatever. They feel kind of me. I have my mistakes, but overall I do better than you do. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. King Saul didn't have that. Or 1 Corinthians 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? You know how practical it is, right? In this life, that people are so angry with one another. There's a power struggle, right? A power struggle. Who is in charge? Instead of being humble and esteeming the other better than themselves. Now, do that. Practice that. Do you have a problem with someone? Who is it? Is someone you kind of almost hate? Why don't you just bow and ask the Lord for humility to be lower than the person and to esteem him higher and listen to what the person has to say and try to understand as positive as possible. But Galatians 5, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another, because that makes you bitter. King Saul was bitter. He couldn't stand it. And King Saul was very rough. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? So David, King Saul rather, felt threatened. He will have the kingdom. I'm just wondering why this is happening. The Lord had anointed David, right? Some time ago, some years ago. The Lord had picked him out, and the oil was poured over his head, and Samuel had said, you're the king, the future king. And he knew that. Why did it take so long? Why did it take so long before he was king? How long it took? 15 years at least. So the Lord has chosen David to be the king. It took 15 years. He had to wait 15 years. It's a long time, isn't it? Why? Why did the Lord not say, Saul, move up. Go away. Why did the Lord not kill him? Slew him. And put David back on the throne. David had to learn. David had to experience hardship. David had experienced that things were not going so smoothly. That was the Lord's will. The Lord was training him to be a better king. By all the afflictions, it was good for him to be afflicted. What does Jeremiah say? It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Just be quiet. Read Lamentation 3 again. Right? Be quiet. I'm in control. So he had to learn patience. And he had to learn humility. He had to learn to bow and not to go too fast. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward, verse 9. From that day, Saul hated him. And he looked for an opportunity to kill him someday because he did not like this at all. So this was God's providence. David had to learn not to envy. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. You know, are your bones rotting because of anger? Because of things that have happened in the past? Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear a grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So love. Love them. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now let's not be like Cain, right? Cain, remember Cain, young people? And Abel, they sacrificed, and the Lord accepted the sacrifice of Abel and not of Cain. Cain was also rough, also very mad. He also could not stand it. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou rough? And why is your countenance fallen? Why do you look so mad? And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. See that anger, the rottenness of the bonds. So, what do you need to prevent that anger and that jealousy? You need to be satisfied with God and to be satisfied with Christ. And if His grace is sufficient for you, who cares? They can take all I have. Then I don't need to have myself. The weapon against jealousy and anger is God's grace. So you need grace. You need salvation. You need to know who you are. You need to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and become at the lowest place. And then to value what's most valuable. And that's not your status. And it's not your wealth. And it's not your kingship. But it's the Lord. So seek that satisfaction. And let the anger not rot your bones. So Jonathan loving David, Saul jealous of David, and now in the third place, Saul trying to kill David. Congregation, the other day, Saul was again under the influence of the evil spirit from God. Verse 10. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God. From God? So you see, the devil is under God. The devil can't do anything without God. So with God's permission and under God's guidance, the evil spirit came over Saul, and he was so terribly mad. But as it says in verse 10, look at that. That the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied. What? King Saul prophesied? Was he a prophet? In the midst of the house. He prophesied in the midst of the house. He was so mad, and he prophesied. Prophesied, he means ranting, raving, mad, stamping and chasing and just verbal. And he couldn't stand still, and he had this javelin in his hand. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. He prophesied, and David played with his hand, as at other times. So before that, David also played the harp, that soothing music, right? Soothing music. And in the past, that sometimes helped and was blessed. You know, music can be therapeutic. Music can be really helpful to calm your nerves. So this depends on type of music, right? There's also music that makes you angry. Don't listen to music that makes you angry, please. Listen to music that calms you down. Because there's also music of the devil. Music is not neutral. Melodies are not neutral. So David played with his hand as other times. And there was already a javelin in Saul's hand. He probably was used to keep it close to him in his hand. And Saul cast the javelin. And he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence. Look at that last word. Verse 11. Twice. So he threw the javelin because he wanted to kill David. And David, what did he do? He ducked. He saw it coming. Or was Saul too nervous to aim? Or was it this the Lord? Yeah, of course it was the Lord. It was not his time. It couldn't happen yet. David was anointed to be king. He was supposed to be king, and he will be. Nobody can kill him. Nobody can kill him. But Saul tried, right? And David, what did you do? What would you do if you were just a dog? Would you pick up that javelin and throw it back? Because David, he was a smart man. He was a warrior. He could easily have killed Saul. Easily. But he didn't want to do that. He respected the anointed one of the Lord. And he left. He fled. And he came back after half an hour or after a couple hours or next day, I don't know. He came back. And he was playing the harp again. David. Yes. I can do that. With the help of the Lord, I can be a means to soothe my master, to calm his nerves down. He just continued to do it. He just did it again, twice. And Saul, he was not impressed, and he threw a javelin again. What a hatred. And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David. Saul afraid of David? I thought the other way. I thought David was afraid of Saul. No. No, David was not afraid. That Saul was afraid of David. He saw that that young man had something that he missed, and that the Lord was with him, and the Lord had departed from him. He felt awful himself, and that constant fear of David, take my kingdom away and give it to someone of my neighbors better than I. He was mad. So David left. No, he was not a wimp. David was not a man with lack of courage. But the Lord wanted a broken vessel in his kingdom. He wanted someone who had learned lessons to be a king in Israel. So maybe that's why, right? Maybe that's why you are experiencing something awful. Like David experienced. It's awful. People trying to kill you and hate you and throwing javelins at you. But David, he went out whither Saul sent him. He behaved himself wisely, and Saul set over the men of war. It was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So everyone loved David except Saul. And he behaved himself wisely. So do that. Whatever you're experiencing, please be wise. Be humble. Let the Lord reign. Follow his footsteps. Follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are the lessons? What do you learn here? Well, let me go back. You have heard something about David, right? About his wisdom and his patience and his love and the way he dealt with things. And that's an example, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus, no? Because the Lord Jesus was promised to David. Out of David, the Son of David came, the Lord Jesus. So have you seen him, the Lord Jesus, in this Bible story? And now, when you're listening, like Jonathan was listening, did you also, will your soul love him? And was your soul knit to him? You know, that's what I'm hoping for. That's the main purpose of preaching this to young people. That young people may receive new hearts and that they may see who they are themselves, that evil heart we have, and that young friends and their parents and beloved ones in the whole congregation may get to know the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to be close to Christ and closer, knit to David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You can't love someone more than your own soul, right? So keep in mind, there might be a long road in front of you. Maybe certain things will not be solved quickly. David, 15 years. Might also be true for you. May the Lord encourage you. And may you follow the Lord and be wisely. And not make dumb decisions. Just read those Bible stories of David and say, Lord, give me the grace. Give me the grace to follow thee, to be patient, to be respectful, to never retaliate. And I hope you may make a covenant. A covenant with the Lord Jesus. That you may promise him. And that you may hear his voice. I hope that you may be clothed with his robe. That you may look like a king and a child of the king. And I hope you may have that sword. And I hope you may have that belt. And I hope you may have that bow. And that you may have the full armor of God. And be wise. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him a captain of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. 14. Wisely. The Lord was with him. He behaved himself. And the Lord was with him. It's all of God. Nothing else is so important. Is the Lord with you? Do you care? Do you seek him? Do you repent? Do you wholeheartedly believe in him? Or follow the Lamb? Don't count on easy life. David never promised David an easy life. But he granted him his favor. Young friends, seek the Lord's favor for time and for eternity in him who is more than David. Amen.